Oh, how many of y'all believe that today? It is the blood of Jesus. Well, we begin a celebration of the week that changed our eternity. There is a Jesus. He is God. He is real. He is forever. And some of you today will meet Him. Some of you for the first time today will say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, change my eternity. This is the message that we believe at Hillview Heights Church. It is the message of God's holy word. So if you'll go with me to Luke 19, you know what? This is what's so crazy. A lot of things have changed, but really nothing has changed. And we're going to see the same characters in this moment as Jesus enters into Jerusalem that are gathered in this room right now. You know, Jesus comes every Sunday. You know what some of us say, praise be unto God. Some of us want to step into what He's doing. Some of us want to sidestep what He said. But a lot of us want to walk around what it means. That's the America that I live in today. There's not a lot of leadership anymore. There's a lot of blaming ship. It's your fault. No, it's our fault. We're sinners in need of the grace of God. How many of y'all get that? All of us in this room are sinners. And I know some of y'all already go, oh, I'm offended. You call me a sinner. Well, good. Be an offended sinner. That'll get you to hell. God wants to change you by His grace. Do you hear that message? God wants to change you by His grace. There are some things that are absolutely true, no matter what anybody else says. Jesus is God. The cross is for real. He did raise from that grave, and He's coming again. These are real things. You say, Pastor, prove it. He would have never stepped in if He wanted to leave you out. He'd have never stepped in if He wanted to leave you out. The worst move Jesus could have made for His self-preservation, Dr. Earl, was to step in to Jerusalem. Because there awaited one thing, death. Y'all got anybody else that'll die for you? If you think your modern day politicians will die for you, you just come on up front here and we'll pray for your reality right now. They got one message, and it's a different message than the message of the Triumphant Sunday. The politicians of the day say, save thyself. And Jesus said, save the world. Isn't that really the difference between us? How many of you will save yourself before you'll change the world? How many of you, your first concern is you? I mean, really think about it. First concern, well, how's this going to affect me? What's going to happen to me? Well, I want to bring you great news today. I want to ask you really three things to evaluate this Holy Week. First of all, what are you going to untie? What are you going to step into? And what do you give praise? Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. Listen, I want you to know, all you UK fans, I really came along this year. I'm not all the way there. I didn't convert. But I'm on the edge. Of really appreciate. And last night I was disappointed, but you know what? I want you all to be as disappointed that there are people that don't know Jesus as you do that UK didn't make it all the way. Now, if we get to that point, y'all will do something. If we had followers of Jesus that were like UK fans, we'd be making some headway. What do? They praise, they're excited, they were disappointed. Now, I wanted UK to win for this reason, because Ohio State got beat. And I mean, I was thinking of all the things I was going to get to say to Pastor Jamie today. I mean, last night, I mean, this is the first time in my life, true confessions, first time in my life that I actually pulled out my phone to check a UK score. Now, I'd done that for UVale scores more than once, but this was UK. And I looked and I thought, oh my goodness. Because I have to give it to Pastor Jamie. He was a gracious man. He called immediately after Ohio State lost. Immediately, he rang my phone and I said, once again, Ohio State, perils to an SEC team. He goes, I knew I was going to hear that. I said, you are a prophet, Jamie. But I was waiting. I got to understand, I'm a greedy man. I wanted to be able to look at Jamie and going, and who's going to the Big Four? Two SEC teams. But now there's only one. Now, to show you that anything can happen, how orange can get over blue is absolutely, absolutely a bad thing. But it happens, doesn't it? Now, here's what Holy Week's about. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Jesus is going to do what you and I just can't do. Just tell your neighbor, say, I can't do it. Go ahead and confess it. I can't do it. Now watch this. And watch this. Let's really get honest. Even if you could, how many of you would?
Probably not.
I mean, let's take the question even deeper. Even if you could forgive the world, how many of you would? Now you're understanding the deep love that Jesus has for us. Not only He could, but He would. He was given the grace of the world and He was willing to share the grace of the world. Now, church, I got to tell you, Jesus is heading into Jerusalem. I want you to know that Jerusalem is a key place. It's a place that we celebrate today. Oh, by the way, isn't it interesting that, you know, according to the secular world, you know, those who are so brilliant from our universities, you know what I'm beginning to think the university means? You paid a lot of money to stay somewhere for 5 years. I'm not sure they taught us to think. And hey, I can say that because I paid a lot of money to stay there 12 years. But just because you went to the university, guess what that means? Here's all that means. You went to the university. That doesn't mean you know any more or know any less. And it definitely doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean you can decide what God thinks. That's our problem. Now, Jesus, do you know why Jesus went into Jerusalem? Because the Father who art in heaven said, go. I'm glad the American government didn't get the assignment for the Savior of our sins, aren't you? It would still be in committee, ping-ponged back between the House and the Senate. Lord, we can't even handle temporary care. Can you imagine if we had to dive into eternal care? Because guess what? We argue because we think our issue is the greatest issue. How many of y'all do that in your marriage? How many of y'all have ever gotten in an argument in marriage? Brittany, y'all have been married too young to ever get in an argument yet. But guess what? It will happen. There's an argument because I want what I want. But guess what, Jesus? He changes it all on this triumphant Sunday. Because guess what? Jesus is so rare because He wants what God wants. How many of you are glad to know that you're following a Lord that wants what God wants? Now hold on, I got to preach just a minute. How many of you rejoice that God wants you to be saved?
Yes.
God wants us to be saved. And He heads into Jerusalem. Jesus had just finished teaching in Luke chapter 19. He teaches in the parable of the talents, parable of the mites. He gives us opportunity to do something great. And then he said, the scripture says, after Jesus had said these things, about that you could be better than you think you are, he goes on and he heads toward Jerusalem. He went on up to where? Jerusalem. He's going ahead. He's going ahead. How many of y'all glad to know that we got a Jesus that went on ahead? He went on ahead and provided salvation. And I want you to know something. You got to get grasp. This is so hard for us to grasp. Jesus did not save us because we deserved it. He saved us because He's a graceful God.
Amen.
We got to get rid of our arrogance. We walk around here in America like, well, of course the Lord would save us. God doesn't care if you're white. He doesn't care if you're black. He doesn't care if you're Hispanic. He doesn't care if you're Asian. He doesn't care if you're a combo. He doesn't care where you come from. He cares that you have a soul that is connected to hell without Him doing something. And He did something. You know why? God's not like us. He didn't step aside and He didn't go around. That's just my observation. Now, this is just my opinion. It's a highly educated opinion. Most of the leaders in our day, I see them stepping aside or stepping around. I find very few that'll step in. The Bible does not say this, save thyself. The Bible says, save the world. For God so loved the world. All of it. It's joyous, glorious moments as well as its sick, perverted moments. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. That means there's no other way. That means there's no other person. That means there's no other philosophy. That means this is it! You know what's walking into Jerusalem? The this is it of forever.
Jesus.
Well, Pastor, I really just don't think that God would have one way. Think it. He said it. See, here's really our problem. What we think will never match what God has said. How many of you all have tried that out? How many of you all have done what you thought versus what God said? How did it go? I know I've run that experiment in my life more than once, and what God said has always, 100% of the time, been better than what I thought. You see, so you really believe the Word of God is true? I do, and it headed to Jerusalem. Now, church, I want you to know that Jerusalem is an amazing place. It's amazing to me to sit here as a pastor preaching the Word of God on the triumphant entry Sunday, Palm Sunday, the first Sunday, and guess what? Jerusalem. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. The same Jerusalem that has been talked about all week long in the 21st century. The same Jerusalem that King David, the king after God's own heart, established as the capital of God's chosen people. By the way, I just want to educate you for a moment. They will still be God's people no matter what administration says what anywhere in the world about them. And you know why they kick everybody off? They have a bigger victim story than any other people group. And they also have a greater success story than any other people group. And there's nothing more than ticks human beings off is to lose their excuse to not succeed. Gotta get the room quiet. You know why? It's true. It's true! Jesus is going into a place where they're going to kill Him. How many of y'all realize that? And He won't step aside. He's going to step what? Into it. So this week, guess what? I'm going to ask you to step into it. How many of y'all are going to step into Holy Week? How many of y'all realize this ought to be the greatest celebration of Christians on the face of the earth this week? We ought to be more than singing. We ought to be telling people, wait a minute, I have a Jesus that has saved me of all of my sin. How many of y'all believe that's true in your life? Then live it out. We need a church that's going to stand up. Please, church, if you're waiting for any politician, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent or Bozo the Clown, to save your sin, you're out of luck. There's one. And what's His name? Oh, come on, let me hear His name.
Jesus.
Who went into Jerusalem?
Jesus.
There's somebody that's going to save you. It's long-term care, by the way. Check this out. Salvation has no taxes. Now find that deal anywhere. Because you know what? It takes your life that is useless and brings you into a life that is forever. How many of y'all realize that you're sitting by a forever person? That'll blow you away. Little Jackson, this morning he just confessed his foreverness. I don't know if that's a word, but it sounds like a word, doesn't it? Foreverness. How many of y'all glad to know that we have foreverness in this room? Well, here's where foreverness continued on. Jesus made up His mind to go ahead, and He told His disciples to go do something. Look at verse 30. He said, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord has needs of it. The Lord needs it. Now, let me ask the question. How many of y'all got some stuff that needs to be untied that's never been ridden? Dr. Earl, even though you're seasoned, I bet you got some things that still hadn't been untied. Well, let me tell you what, the Lord needs it. We need to untie some things at Hillview Heights Church. You know what? We need to untie our praise. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ought to untie it. Yesterday during the oil change, I saw a lot of things untied, man. I was excited to be a part of this church as I saw everybody using what they, untying what they had to make a difference. Church, do you see that if we would be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the world would have to contend with the living God? So this Holy Week, I want you to ask God, God, what do I need to untie that you've never ridden? Because He might just ride it into Bowling Green. Amen? And now here's what I want you to know. When Jesus comes to town, things get rowdy. That's how I know we hadn't really untied who Jesus is in Bowling Green, because the churches in Bowling Green hadn't been rowdy in a long time. I mean, if you're going to follow Jesus, man, you know what Jesus does? You know what gets Him in trouble? Jesus sets poor people free. Any of y'all glad about that? Jesus sets poor people free. No, is anybody glad about that? Jesus sets poor people free. Some of y'all still poor. You know why you still poor? You won't listen to Jesus. You say, somebody else is going to save me. You see, the neighbor that feeds you may be the one that enslaves you. Jesus said, no, if you want to live, follow who? Following. Well, here he goes. He's going into Jerusalem. The disciples, guess what they do? They do what Jesus asked him to do. That's always a good idea. And they untie a young colt. Sure enough, they go get this guy's young colt. And he asks the owner of the colt, says, and as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. So I want to start there. What does the Lord need from you this week? Your attention, your praise, and your willingness to step with Him. If you step with God, how will your life be different? If you get in step with Jesus, how will your life be different? Jesus wants to not only walk with you and talk with you, but He wants to show you that your life untied, ridiculously in love with Jesus, will cause wonderful things to fall in this world. How many of y'all believe that? I do. I believe the best of the church is yet to come. Now, I want you to know Jerusalem's significant. Jerusalem's significant. I want you to know that Jerusalem is still significant. I want you to know that your pastor is going to stand with Israel, and I don't care what any politician says. I don't care what any other nation in the world says. I'm going to stand in Jerusalem. That's where my Savior entered into. And you say, well, Pastor Ayers, why are the Jews God's chosen people? You want my theological answer to that? Because they are. And who Jesus wants to choose, He chooses. He didn't choose white people because He would have never got the gospel out. They'd have wrote 5 books on it, had 4 committee meetings, and then hung it up in committee somewhere in between that. If you notice, Jesus did not get one religious professional to follow Him. He knew that was a lost cause. I want you to hear today, nothing's changed. If y'all are waiting for the preachers of this land to change the land, it'll be a long wait. It's when the people of God sing His praise that the King of God rattles His grace. Who started praising God? It was the people. Wasn't the leaders. It was the what?
People.
The followers. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to follow Him into Jerusalem. Guess what happens? They start breaking out. They start remembering who it is. They see who's up on that colt. They put their cloaks over the colt. Look what it says in the Scripture. They place their cloaks, what they owned, on that colt and put Jesus on it. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. What? Wait a minute. This is someone worthy of our praise. This is somebody different. This is no ordinary person coming to town. This is not a moment for history to forget. This is something great. But let me warn you, don't ever listen to the crowd. Tell your neighbor, don't listen to the crowd. I remember last Sunday, there was a sea of blue in here. This Sunday, there's only some blue dots. The crowd will change quickly on you. How many of y'all found that out in leadership? Don't ever listen to the crowd. The crowd is always fickle. I mean, when my son started playing a quarterback, well, if you're a quarterback, if you're going to be a quarterback worth your salt, you can never listen to the stands. And the stands gave him more than heaven once or twice. He's a young kid. He's 15 years old. He gets in the truck and he asked me, he said, Daddy, how do you take the crowd? I said, the crowd never holds the truth. Never. The fallacy of democracy is that a majority does not make truth. Sometimes you can have 51% that's wrong as rain. The Bible never calls us to agreement with each other. It calls us to agreement with God. Jesus is the
way
in life. What did Jesus say? I'm going to Jerusalem. Here comes the crowd. They're laying their cloaks down. It's a big day. It's an exciting day. People are praising Him. How many of y'all like it when people praise you? Well, let me ask you a question. Good. Me and Rick are the only ones in the whole place, Rick, that like praise. Any of y'all else like praise?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all want me to call some of you out where I've seen y'all do like little praise things where you know.
Here, give me praise. Let me know I'm significant.
I want you to know how significant you are. This is how significant you are. Jesus went. Not because you deserved it, but because He loves us so much. Is that not amazing? Jesus loves you so much, He does not want you to be left out of heaven. Can you remember that? Jesus loves you so much that He went into Jerusalem riding on that colt. And they begin to praise Him. They remembered the miracles that He had done and who He was. And they begin to what? Praise Him. And then guess who was in the crowd? You can't ever have a Jesus crowd without some of these folk here. The Pharisees. How many of y'all are Pharisees? Raise your hand if you're a Pharisee. No, you won't do it, will you? Because watch this. You know you've read the Bible enough if you're a Pharisee to know that Jesus never said anything positive about Pharisees. Now that ought to worry you if you're a real church person. You ought to get worried. Jesus never said anything positive about people who were more married to the religious system than they were in love with a loving God. And Lord God knows, I've had the Pharisees talk about me.
Pastor Steve, you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And you know what my question is to them? Why not?
Because you bunch of bubbleheads say no? See, we got to start getting an attitude in the church. Let me tell you what. Here's why the world's politically correct. The church is politically correct. We were never called to be politically correct. We were called to be truthful. And that'll get you crucified. But you see, most of us aren't willing to step in. Most of us, we're good old Kentuckians, so we like to step what? There you go. We get close enough, but not close enough to get crucified. Just enough of Jesus to get into heaven, not enough of Jesus to get a new life. Lord, don't bother me too much. But you know what Jesus said? I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way so you can go all the way. Is that not a miracle? Does somebody not get crazy about it? I mean, I get crazy about that. That Jesus Christ would die for a sinner like me. Did any of the rest of y'all mess up during the week? I mean, I love Jesus and say things I'm not supposed to. Any of y'all got that problem? I mean, sometimes I do stuff and I go, Lord, I hope you love me because it sure doesn't look like I just loved you. Any of y'all ever had that moment?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I go, grace, grace, God's what?
Grace.
And that allows me to step on in one more step to heaven. Jesus wants you to go to heaven so much that He went on. Here's what the Pharisees ask. The Pharisees, some of the Pharisees, not all the Pharisees, but some of the Pharisees in the crowd said of Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Rebuke them. How dare them cry out praise? Some of y'all are just like that. How many of y'all like that? I've heard God move in this church. I've watched Him in this. I just want to show you, nothing's changed. I've seen the Holy Spirit just lay folk out in this church, God moving in a fervent way. And I've heard somebody come up to me and go, "Pastor, you know, on the fourth row of the 15th row, the third chair was out of line." Where do you people live? What do you do? Get a life. Get saved. That's not an attitude of salvation. That's the old Pharisee attitude. I've seen people that are, quote, leaders in the church miss people getting saved at the altar because they didn't like something personally. You know what? That's not called maturity. That's called being an immature little spiritual brat. And I personally believe little immature spiritual brats don't need to go into timeout. I believe there's a holy cure for them. They need to be disciplined. And you know how they're disciplined? Don't listen to them. Jesus never listened to the Pharisees. Did you notice that? Jesus never went, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I've hurt you guys' feelings." Kevin, He never went, "Oh, man, you must be upset since I'm God and you're not." He never said that to them. Guess what He said? "People will praise because I'm for real." How many of y'all realize people are going to praise God? How many of y'all are excited that you and I are a part of a faith that nobody can stop? Let me give you a little history. Nobody can stop it. The Romans tried to stop it. It just kept on going. The Nazis tried to stop it. It kept on going. The communists had tried to stop it. And it kept on what? Guess what? You and I have tried to stop it. But it'll what? The sophisticates have said it doesn't exist. But let me tell you what keeps happening. Rocks keep singing. Rocks keep singing. How many of y'all glad to be a part of the faith that if we get quiet, the rocks will start singing?
Yeah.
Rocks will sing. Why? Jesus said they would. Here's what He told him. He said, "Man, have mercy." He said, "Don't you Pharisees understand what's going on?" Now, this paraphrased a little bit. Here's what they really said. And Jesus said to them, "I tell you," He replied, "if they keep quiet, if they keep quiet, if they remain silent, the stones will cry out." Hillview, I'm asking you to do three things today. First, untie what Jesus needs in you. Those of you that believers, you need to untie it and release it. Give it to the Lord. Amen? Some of you all that got sins that just pester you, untie them and give them to who? Maybe this week you need to really just untie yourself and say, "God, here it is. I can't stop it. It's a weakness in my life. I want to put it on that donkey and you take it to the cross." Amen? I'm going to untie it and give it to you. You need it. I don't need it anymore. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that's hard, it's tough, it's going to cost you. You got to step in. Not to the side, not around the issue, but what? In. Don't back out. Step in. You'll never win until you step where? And it's scary. You can never pass first grade unless you do what? Step into first grade. You know what? You can never finish high school unless you start where? Well, kindergarten. Man, you know, the scariest class I ever went to was kindergarten. Scary. What a cruel world. For 4 years of my life, I'd been able to run around on my, tricycle and bicycle with training wheels. I woke up in the morning to Captain Kangaroo, and here I'm 5 years old, and they pull up in a station wagon with, wood panel siding on the side of it. It's like a covered wagon of the ancient days. And they take me into this institution, and it smells bad in there. I never smelled a place so bad in my life. It's called a school. They smell bad. How many of y'all think schools smell bad? It's crazy. Schools, hospitals, and funeral homes, they all smell alike. They need to get a new air fragrance. Institutional stale. I got tired of it. And then here I am, a little five-year-old. I'd been playing. I'd been enjoying life. And they take me and they put me in a room. And they got this authoritative figure in front of me called a teacher. And the teacher has a rhetoric, a litany, a rhythm that goes over and over. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And you know you're called to be a teacher if you can snap louder than anybody else in your room. That's the signal that God has called you to teach. Because those old school teachers, they could wheel around and go, bop! And it was like slow motion, and you saw the penalty coming off of them as it hit you in the head as a five-year-old. I had to stand in the corner. And I thought, why am I in the corner? I was just talking. Can't you talk? I wish I was a smarter five-year-old where I could have started reading when I was 5 years old, because I'd look at the teacher and say, you are violating my First Amendment rights. I have a right to free speech, and you're confining that in this classroom. I didn't know anything about the Constitution until I graduated from college. But when I found out about it, I came really dangerous. Reading can change things. But let me know what even change them anymore. Following Jesus. The rocks will cry out. How many of y'all need to step in? Jesus already has. Will you step with him? And then the third thing is this, man, I'm asking you to praise him. Amen. I mean, we need to praise God. It's the overwhelming love relationship that God has for us. And eventually we need to give him praise. I want to show you something. A church that will untie what God wants to do. A church that will go where he wants them to go. And a church that will praise him no matter what is a church that will be there to the end. Because let me tell you something. I got good news. How many of y'all are a little frustrated right now as you watch TV, hear headlines, you're a little frustrated. Okay, it's frustrating. Watch this. I want to bring you good news. The Republicans cannot save you. Y'all should be jumping up and down. Because they think they're the next savior. How many of y'all have already discovered that the Democrats will not save you? Good. Okay, got that down. The independents aren't going to save you. The Constitution won't save you. The Supreme Court won't save you. You can put an American flag on your car and you'll still have a wreck. Just like you can put a King James Bible on the dashboard and still have a wreck. Jesus Christ came to save your soul. He wants to be in your life and take you to where? Heaven. He's the only Savior I know. Everybody else has got an opinion. But Jesus has come with the truth. He's worthy of our what? Praise, man. And if we don't praise him, the rocks will sing. And I was driving down Scotts Road, and I looked over to my right, and guess what I saw? Some rocks tuning up. So we better get ready to praise him. You know what I mean, Jeff? We better get ready to let him know. Amen? Tonight we start to praise. The choir, the musicians of this church, Pastor Keith Scarborough, guess what? They got a praise-a-thon ready for tonight, loaded at 6 o'clock. Guess when you need to be here? Start at 5:30 so you'll be in here and get you a good seat. Okay? You know what? Tonight this place ought to be full. I'll be standing room only. Okay? I mean, you put three services in the building at one time, that ought to fill it up. I got Warren Central Math, but it ought to fill up. Okay? Now look at here. And we ought to praise tonight. We ought to praise like we've never praised. Letting this city know there is a Jesus that will save them and change them and love them and make them new. I mean, get our praise on. Amen? Because you know what? In the midst of that praise, God will speak to us and say, I need this. Untie it. Untie this. Loose this. I need to ride in. I need to ride in on what you own. Think about that. And then you know what? Some of us got to decide to step. When it gets tough. Here's what I found. Most people can move if the crowd's praising them. Can you move when the crowd is cursing you? Now, for those of you that love the recognition of people, this will cause great medical problems in your life. You'll be depressed a lot. Because here's the problem with people. They'll tell you you're real good one week and tell you you're not so good the next week. That's just the way we are. So you better listen to Jesus, because guess what he says? He's got one message. I love you. I want to save you, and I want to bring you to heaven. That's his message. So when you hear him, guess what? No matter what the crowd says, you can still walk in praise. You know why you can walk in praise? Because you've been untied of the things that entangle you, which allows you to step forward onto the day He comes again. Amen? That's pretty cool, isn't it? So I do want you to know three absolute facts. Jesus is for real. He was born. He lived among us. And He went to Jerusalem and He died there on a cross. 3 days later, He arose from the grave. You say, well, how can that scientifically happen? It can't, but it can happen from the realms of heaven. God can manipulate science. God is smarter than Harvard, Berkeley, and all the universities put together. God is not a scientist. He is the creator of science. So He knows how to make that happen. He arose from the grave. How many of y'all believe He's alive? He arose from the grave. Next Sunday, we're going to, man, that's all it's going to be about. It's being alive. You ought to be here. And you ought to come in here alive. And then I got to let you know something. Because sometimes the church doesn't tell you this. And you need to hear it clear. Here at Hillview, you're not going to be clueless. There is a day Jesus Christ returns. That's for real. Now, you got some preachers in this world, we're really not sure about the return of Jesus Christ. If you hear that in your church, leave it. Because you're with a false teacher. He will return. It says in the Word of God, just like it said, go to Jerusalem. It says, Jesus says, I'm ascending to the right hand of the Father. I will send you the power of the Holy Spirit and I will come again. And He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. But this time, you better hear me. You better listen. I got to say this the only way I know how. I got to say it like the Kentuckian that I am. He ain't riding no donkey. Sheriff, you got some pretty horses, but none like this one. Because he's going to be riding the universal champion. And on that horse, when you hear it bray, for all of us, guess what we get to say? Hallelujah. Praise God. The King is coming. Now guess what all those who have rejected Jesus will say? Don't be too direct on that. But that's what they'll say. As we say, oh my God, they'll say, oh something else. Oh no. It was true. I want to join with Jesus Christ. I believe that God Almighty desires every person in this room to be saved today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. I believe you're here for a reason, and it's not to listen to me preach, but it's to hear what Jesus had to say. I believe Hillview Heights Church exists for one purpose and one purpose alone, that those who are lost without Jesus Christ may have their sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, that they may be crucified on the cross with Christ, risen from the grave with Christ, and when He returns, they will go with Him and reign with Him forever and ever. Amen? That's why we're here. We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to feed you. We're not here to wash your car. Now, we might do all those things, so you might know one thing. He went into Jerusalem. He died. He's risen. He reigns. And He returns. Do you understand me, church? How many of y'all realize today, as I give this altar call, there are going to be some people get saved? How many of y'all are praying right now? God, watch this. Please don't be offended. Watch this. We don't want you to go to hell. Why would you be excited about a church that wants you to go to hell? Why would you want to attend a church that would lie to you about the way to heaven? You say, Pastor, we got some in our city. You better believe we do. It ain't about the way you dress. It's about the way you live. It's not about the translation of the Bible you read out of. It's about the Jesus that's in that Bible. Does that make sense? And you got to square up with this decision. I want every one of us to be saved. That's God's heart. Amen. You know what? Easter Sunday morning, really after that, I hope there wouldn't be an empty seat in this place. Y'all aren't getting me. Talk to your friends. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus blows the whistle this week, how many of y'all forgot to tell some people about Him? Like your mom, or your dad, or your uncle, or your kids, or your neighbor, or the dude you fished with, the dude you hunt with, the ladies you quilt with, people you go to movies with, people you go to dance clubs with. Who did you forget to tell about the one that is coming? Who'd you forget to tell? Now, I know I have some colleagues that'll argue with me. They think they're deep. They're deep. They say, I'm deep in the Lord. All they're doing is reading a bunch of books. Just like the Pharisees. And then there were a few rugged disciples. You know what they did? They went and told folks. You know who Jesus had to get to tell folks? Ordinary folks that weren't real impressed with themselves. Fishermen. Tax collectors. This always amazes me. Jesus picked someone from the IRS before he picked a clergyman. I always tell preachers that to help them humble themselves. I said, Jesus would rather have an IRS guy working for him than one of us. You know why? The IRS guy knew he was a crook. The preacher hadn't fessed up to it yet. Can I share grace with you? We're all crooks. That's why we can point them out so easy. We know them because we're one of them at times. Amen? We've all sinned. We've all been crooked. We can't get to God alone. There's only one way to get to God, and that's the mercy of Jesus. And here's what Jesus said today. Guess what? Are you going to untie it? Well, untie your sins. Jesus said, I'm willing to forgive you of your sins. Untie it. Give it to the Lord. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. He'll do it. Come connect with that today. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and you rose from the grave. You got to believe that. That's the message. And if you believe that, you don't have any problem believe he's coming again. Amen. There it is.
So Pastor Ayers, surely it's, you know, I'm real important. Surely it's more complicated than that. No, your fallacy is you're not as important as you have really thought. If you'll talk to your neighbor, they'll let you know that, especially if you're your spouse.
I tell you who is important, though. Jesus Christ. And he loves every one of us. So I don't know. Here's the trade-off. You want to be important? Or do you want to be loved by God? I'd rather be loved by God. Amen? Because when all the titles... Yes, Pat.
I think this church should pray for you.
Amen. They're real brothers and sisters. Yeah. The Mennonites that got killed, you know what they said? What would we say? Oh, Lord, we'd be, you know, oh. They know God. You know what they said? God is in control. Even when we die, guess what? God is in control. I hope some of you will pray. Watch it. Do you hear I say this? For my Mennonite brothers and sisters. They believe in Jesus. I've always respected the Mennonites. You know why? They have integrity the way they practice their faith. They don't believe in cars, so guess what they do? They ride horses. That's the Amish branch. But they believe in what they believe. And guess what they believe? They believe Jesus died on the cross and Jesus rose from the grave and Jesus is returning. And so when a tragic accident happens, like a tractor trailer makes some mistakes and has an accident and goes head on into a van full of believers, guess what they can say? God is in control. You know why? They truly believe it. It was the Mennonites who had a schoolhouse slaughtered by an evil, vile human being that were able to say to the vile, evil human being, we forgive you. Because they know there's only one way to what? Heaven. Thank you. Now today, some of you need to get saved. The people in here that don't know Jesus, but guess what? There's a Jesus. What does he want you to know? Be saved. Man, we got baptisms lining up at Easter. That may be all we do at Easter. And if that is, hallelujah. I pray to God we got to baptize 60,000 people at Easter. Wear Jamie out. We'll have to put him on an IV to get the last 100 done. There's going to be a day y'all believe that can happen. And when you start believing that happen, that's when it'll happen. It's real. So I want you to know, you're not going to hear me as one of these pastors that just, you know, tells you how bad the world is. I come with a preconceived idea. I know the world ends. So I'm not surprised when it starts entering into its fourth quarter. I'm not surprised at all. People ask me, they say, are you surprised about what's going on? Lord, no. People are selfish and greedy and arrogant, evil, lovers of themselves rather than God. They seek pleasure over purpose. Watch this. Most people in God's church today care more about the UK loss last night than they do the souls of their neighbor heading to an eternal hell. Most of us gave more concern this morning to our makeup than we did the heart of our souls. And until we repent, we will never be able to see all that God will untie and release. It's that real. Am I intense? You better believe I am. I followed Jesus that gave it all, not some of it, all of it. And it's real. So be real with Him today. Amen. Let's stand up. God's going to do something great. Be prepared for it. Pray with me right now. Lord, You have loved us all the way into heaven. So right now, God, we pray. Listen, there's human beings next to you that need salvation. There's human beings right next to you that need salvation. Don't step away. Don't step away. Somebody hear me. Don't step away. If you need to be baptized, I'm telling you, God's going to do something in these Easter baptisms. It's already happening. If God's telling you right now, I need to confess my faith in baptism this Easter, I want you to get up here and talk to Pastor Jeff, Pastor David, Pastor Jamie, and let's get that taken care of. Jeff, if it's 1,000 people, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen, if you've never asked Jesus in your life, right now, just tell Him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I've heard today You're a Savior. Lord Jesus, I take You on Your word. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I recognize You as the Savior You have claimed Yourself to be. And I trust You for my salvation. You do that, You'll be saved. You'll be headed to heaven. Now let's come and pray. As Pat asked, let's pray for these Mennonite brothers and sisters who lost life. But let's pray that people come to know Christ today. Amen. We came to church for a reason today, and it wasn't to hear a sermon. And it wasn't to just sing some songs. It was to hear from the One who made us. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now listen, some of you need to come. He's talking to you right now. I see it on your face. Praise God. So this altar is released. Come on forward now. The pastors are ready to pray and talk, and God's ready to save and is saving. So right now, guess what? Listen, am I not clear? Y'all can come on and pray. Let's come and pray. Right now, clear. Let's pray. Watch this. I preached about stepping forward today. How many of y'all will do that? Standing still won't work either. Come on and let God have His way right now. Come on, church. Praise God. Come on. Come on. Come and pray. Believers and those who are yet to believe, those who need to be baptized, come on and pray. As people come, come join them. Why stand there today? Come join them and see what God will do in your life. Come on. Come on, church. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Not next week, today.